Great to see everyone. What a great morning it is. I'm excited about this. This is Christmas time. Let me ask John, if you guys could shut that fan off, that would be great. You know, Christmas time is my favorite time of year. Most of you know, if you've been here very long, I play Christmas music in July, in May. It happens all the time. But this time, it's appropriate because everybody else is. I love Christmas time, but Christmas is not easy for everyone. We know there are people today that have that pressure, that emotional pressure, that somehow you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be happy because it's Christmas. Now you feel more depressed because you're not happy. And there are those who have lost loved ones and you're not going to have them to celebrate, so that's a little depressing. Maybe you just don't have enough finances, and that's a little depressing because you feel guilty that you have to buy things for people that you don't like to give them something that they can't keep and get into a debt that you don't need to owe. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I was out in the mall yesterday. I saw it. It's not like that in January. So it's supposed to be a happy time. And today we're talking about, do you hear what I hear? One of my favorite songs. You know, do you hear what I hear? You know what's amazing about that? That's about shepherds. What a weird thing. Christmas. Why is Christmas about shepherds? We raised sheep in South Dakota for 2 years. I'll be honest with you. I would raise anything else. I'd raise cats before I raise sheep. If you think that's not true, try to herd a whole bunch of cats. Sheep are worse. And God puts in the middle of this story shepherds. Do you hear what I hear? They're so pivotal. Why? Because I think their lives at times were the lowest of low because they worked with the dirtiest of the dirty animals, and they're just highs and lows. And I think it's a metaphor for us today that we can have highs and lows. And what is God doing in your life? Have you had the highs and lows yet this Christmas? Because that's what Do You Hear What I Hear is all about. We have highs and lows all the time. Friday night, I took my family. We went to do something I have never done before. We went down to Detroit to Martius Park. They have ice skating down there, and Paul Miller from WJR, I heard him on the radio, he said, it's our 50th anniversary, we're going to sing Christmas carols. I'm in. So we went down, and we sang Christmas carols. I'll be on the radio Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, WJR, there you go. They taped it, they're going to replay it. We're down there, we're ice skating. I haven't been, the lady goes, we're running ice skates to go out there in this, I mean, it was just a winter wonderland. She goes, have you ice skated before? I said, yes. Oh, okay, when? I said, 30 years ago. Like riding a bike, right? The first 10 laps was not like riding a bike. It was ice skating with hundreds of people out there. We had a great time. It was awesome. And then we got back to our car and found out we became a statistic in Detroit. We were robbed. Yeah, my wife's purse, her driver's license, her ID, credit cards, wallet, everything, money, grocery money, shopping money, all the stuff, gone, tucked away under the seat, gone. And I'm just like, wait, what just happened? Her reading glasses, her keys, the keys to the vehicle, the keys to our house, her driver's license, where we live, to the keys of the house and the car where we live. Everything, but worst of all, her lipstick and makeup were gone. We're sitting there, kind of surreal. We made a police report, and we got done, and we're driving away, and it was okay. I mean, there was really a peace. And my daughter said, well, maybe whoever took it needed it, because they didn't take anything else. They didn't take the other girl that came along, her purse in the back. They didn't take some of the stuff in the vehicle. My wallet was tucked away underneath the seat. So somebody was just quick, smash and grab, just go. B&E. And we're sitting there, and my daughter said, well, maybe they need it. And you know what? Maybe they did. Merry Christmas. Because here it is. Is that going to define my life? No, that's all replaceable. You see, because I've learned something, that Christ has come. I have Christ. I don't have Christ because I showed up on Sunday. I have Christ on Friday night as a statistic. I had Christ. They didn't take anything from me. They didn't take my joy. They didn't take my salvation. They didn't take my eternity. They didn't take my Jesus. They took something that I can't take to Jesus with me. And that can be replaced. All of it can be replaced. And there was a really interesting thought when my daughter said, but Dad, maybe they needed it. My first response was, no, they're thieves and they're probably buying drugs. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Merry Christmas. Because you know what? You can't steal from someone who has everything in their heart. What I have inside, Emmanuel, is greater than what I have on the outside. And God is with me. And so we were able to go through that process. God, everything changed. Everything's moving along. And you know what? We're okay. We're okay because God is with us. And when God is with you, it doesn't matter what's happening to you. He cares more about what's happening in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the next day, my wife and I, we said, well, it's going to change a few Christmas plans of what we're going to do. So instead of going and shopping at Neiman Marcus, we said, let's go to Goodwill. We did. And we went there yesterday, and we're just there shopping around and getting stuff and found some really great things that other people are throwing away. And we found some really good bargains. We're standing in line, and a lady yells, comes running in. She yells, someone call 911. Someone's dying outside having a heart attack. We ran out. We were the first ones out there. My wife and I, we left everything. We just kind of went out, and there was a lady sitting in a chair. She wasn't having a heart attack, 79 years old, because when I called 911, they said, who is she? And I asked her, her name is Connie. And they said, how old is she? She was 79 years old. And I said, Connie, and she's trying to respond. She was having seizures, massive seizures, over and over and over nonstop. And she could just barely talk in between to get information. And we're doing this, and we're talking, and her husband is standing there distraught. He said, 53 years of marriage. And all of a sudden, life is changing. And he just has that look in his eyes. And I was like, I was looking into my grandfather's eyes. And his wife, and he could do nothing. As we're calling 911 and waiting for emergency responders to get there to save her life. He didn't know what to do. Goodwill brought a blanket and put that around her to keep her warm. There was a chair she was sitting in. The responder said, please just keep her in a chair, sitting down. Don't give her water or food, and we'll be there soon. Sir, just keep doing whatever you're doing. We'll be there soon. And I hung up. He had pulled his car up to pick her up, so his car was running. He went to move it. She must have had, anywhere from 15 to 20 seizures easily. It was just nuts. It was incredible. It was intense. It was a moment, and it was like God just said, hey, remember, I'm with you. I am Emmanuel. You have me. And this is our confidence, that we ask anything in God's name, according to his will, and it shall be done. This is our confidence. And I looked at her, I said, ma'am, would it be okay if I pray for you? And in between the convulsions, she said, yes. Susan on one side laying hands on me on the other. And I just want you to know that miracles still happen today. And we got to witness, and the community and the world needs to know that God is God. I began to pray and I said, God, in the name of Jesus, this woman here, I'm just going to ask in the name of Jesus that you heal her and stop these seizures. God, I pray for peace. You are the Prince of Peace in her life right now. And in that moment, she was healed instantly. Instantly. She didn't have another seizure at all. Her husband was coming back from the car with tears in his eyes, walking up, not knowing what to do. And her breathing began to subside into a very calm breathing. She looked up at me, and I said, that's what we can do because God is with us. Maybe that's why I was at Goodwill today, is for you, because I know God and he's a healer and he is with me. Her husband walked up and she looked at him. She says, honey, this man just prayed for me. She was completely coherent, completely calm. The EMTs and everybody showed up to take her to the hospital to make sure she was checked out, but she was completely in that moment. I got to witness a God-fearing, biblical moment, walking on water, feeding the thousands. I got to watch a woman healed, and I got to participate because God is with us. I want you to know that, church, because sometimes we forget what this season is all about. This season is all about God coming to you in the form of the manger. And so he tells Mary and these shepherds, good news. Do you hear? Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, a star, shining in the night. Why? Because it's dark in this world. But there's a star in the night, and it's got a tail. It's as big as a kite. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? You know what I see? I see that Jesus Christ has changed the world. And I want you to know that he's changed the world. We live in a world, maybe you don't understand what's happening, but on that night, here's what's going on. Do you see it? Can you see it? From way up in Nazareth, about 70 miles, a young couple get on a donkey. They don't have a whole lot. In fact, right now, things are kind of rough because she's pregnant, and she's had to convince him, it's not yours, but it's nobody else's. And they're on their way to register for a census. And they're passing down through the countryside on this donkey. She is ready. Oh, she's ready. And they come through Jerusalem. And as they go through the city of Jerusalem, there's Bethlehem 5 miles away. In fact, if you stand on the temple of God, and right in front of that, just a little bit below the temple, is the king's palace that Solomon built. And just in the wall of Jerusalem, you look and there's a gate on the south side. On the south side gate, this gigantic gate, it's the sheep gate. Why is it the sheep gate? Because Bethlehem's 5 miles away. And from 5 miles, you can see the countryside. And you can see where they're on their way as they're passing through. And that's where they raise the sheep to bring to the temple for sacrifice. They're on their way. And all of a sudden, do you see this? All of a sudden, she goes, hey, guess what? Oh, boy, water broke. He's like, no. Not now. Oh, now. You need to get me to a hospital. Where? Get me to a house. It is the Feast of Trumpets. It's the first day of the month. Do you see what I see? Look. Let me explain it this way. You may not understand this. All you have to do is look up in the sky and see what I see. Genesis chapter 1. Excuse me, let's go back. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby. Would you say that with me? While they were there, the time. How many of you know when it's time? It's time. God said, it's time. I'm going to show up on planet Earth. But where's God? Well, guess what? It's time. And that's interesting. Because back here in Jerusalem, as they're passing through Jerusalem, something happens on that day. We know the day, we know the time, and we know what's happening because we know astronomy and the stars, and you can look. What's happening is the high priest is looking up in the sky about 6:05 at night. You know why I know that? Because the sun is setting at 6:05 on that day. It's the month of Shimri. The month of Shimri, the first day of the month. Here's what the priests do. They don't have watches and clocks and things. So they're looking up in the sky, and the first day of every month, they would blow trumpets from the temple and from the wall. First day of the month, and they would blow. Well, the priest is doing this. Okay, hold on to the temple. Hold those trumpets. Is it the first day? The first day, there's a sliver. It's the first day you'll see the crest of a moon. And he's watching for it. Now, the problem is you got to wait for the sun to set to see that moon in that time before it set, and it sets on that day in about 25 minutes, from 6:05 sunset to 6:25 on that day in the month, first day of the month of Shimri. And why do I know this? You could do some historical study, you can do some science study and find this stuff out. We measure by the stars all the time. How do we know that? Because Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says, and God said, let there be lights in the sky, stars and planets and things, to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. That word seasons in your Bible in the Hebrew means sacred times. And this is a sacred time because we know this. On that day, on that night, while that priest was waiting to have the trumpets blown to everybody, first day of the month, and it's a holy month, he's looking up there and he's looking. Virgo, the constellation, she's on her way over the horizon. Virgo is on her way down, and at her feet is the moon. somewhere right around in her chest, in her bosom, is the sun. This is what's happening in the sky, okay? It's going down. He's looking at this and is like, okay, there's the crest, about 625, 630. Blow the trumpets. Trumpets are being blown. Now, what does that mean to you and I? This is awesome. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, Virgo, the virgin, with the sun in her bosom. With the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Verse 2, she was pregnant. Does this sound familiar? She was pregnant and she cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. So what's happening is God is announcing in the heavens as Virgo is going down with the moon and all this stuff going on. Guess what? There's a couple riding on a donkey through town. Do you see what I see? God is announcing to the world, it's happening. And Mary says, it's time. What do I know about this? I know that there was about 25 minutes. Do you know that sometimes God gives us 25 minutes in our lives to recognize that Jesus needs to be born in our lives? Some of you are praying for people. Some of you haven't received Christ. Some of you are looking for Christ. Can I tell you, Christ shows up sometimes in just a small window. Can I tell you, when that window opens, go through it. Let Christ be born in you. We live in a world that we need to see this and understand this is what Christmas is all about. I love the Charlie Brown Christmas. How many of you have seen Charlie Brown Christmas? You know what I'm talking about, right? Charlie Brown wrote this, and he liked to put his religion into his cartoons. Did you know in Kentucky last week, a fifth grade class in an elementary school, they're doing the Charlie Brown Christmas last Thursday. You know what happened? One parent complained, and they said, this offends me, because in the middle of the Charlie Brown play, come on out Thursday night. You're going to love Thursday night's communion candlelight here. That's a hint. Charlie Brown's Christmas, Lioness gets up. Charlie Brown says, good grief, can't anyone tell me what the meaning of Christmas is? And Lioness, with his blanket, goes over, and the spotlight comes on. And remember that? He does Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. For unto us a child. And he does this. A parent says, that's offensive. So the school principal and administration take that out of the play. Said, that's going to be out of the play. So we're now censoring everything. The parents got very upset. What are you talking about? How do you take a piece of a play out of a play? What are we going to do with Shakespeare and all these other things? What are we going to do? What kind of world do we live in? But here's what's beautiful. A radio broadcaster announcer said, hey, here's what I would do. And the parents took the advice. So here's what they did. During the play, all the parents got together beforehand, memorized Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. When it came time for that, doesn't anybody know what can tell me what the true meaning of Christmas is? All the parents in that silent moment stood up in the audience and they all quoted Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. One little fifth grader named Joey Collins. One parent of a student named Joey Collins said, the parents in the bleachers basically quoted the whole verse from the book of Luke. It was amazing. What a moment. Everybody was in tears and clapping. What was about to be a quiet moment, a ruin my Christmas moment, now has become national press. Thank you, principal, for doing that. And thank you, parents, for knowing that God is with us and you can't stop Christmas from coming. I think we ought to do that. Here's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Let's say it together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Praise God. Isn't that great? I'm so thankful that one person on stage didn't say, "Glory to God in the highest," but the entire audience said, "Glory to God in the highest." That is our God. See, nobody's going to steal and rob your joy when you have Emmanuel. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Do you hear what's going on? Mary and Joseph are on their way. And she goes, "It's time. It's the Feast of Trumpets. It's a holy time." See, every month when that priest says, "Oh, first of the month, blow the trumpets," all the brass trumpets blow. But on the month of Shimri, it's the Feast of Trumpets. Two things are going on. Number one, everybody's going to do the census because the government went, "Hey, while they're partying and celebrating, everybody's out and feeling good, good time to collect taxes." But it was also something very interesting. It's the only Jewish holiday, the only festival, the only feast where the Gentiles are invited to party with the Jews. The Feast of Trumpets, there's Gentiles, there's Jews. I mean, the streets are packed. Every hotel is busy. And they're going through town and they're going, "Where are we going to have this baby?" I don't know. There's people everywhere. There's no room in a single hotel anywhere. Got it? This is all making sense now. Usually we just read the story and we read the story. And they're going along. "Do you hear what I hear?" The priest goes, "The difference of Shimri on this night, Mary and Joseph are riding on the donkey." She goes, "Baby, they're through the temple gate. It's between 6:05 and 6:30. They're almost to Bethlehem. And from the tower, from the temple, from the king's palace, there's a tower out there. It's called the Watchtower of the Sheep. It's called Migdal Eder. And it was built by Solomon so many years ago. Solomon built that because when he had the temple, he had the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. You remember when they came out of Egypt and God sent the death angel, said, "You need to sprinkle blood over your doorpost, the Passover, so that death will pass over you." And Jesus Christ, now they're waiting. So they're sacrificing one lamb every year at the Passover. Solomon sets it up in the temple of Eder, with Levitical priests. "You guys are in charge of finding me a perfect lamb. You're in charge of having it come in there, bring it in there, and once a year you bring me a perfect lamb without blemish. It's got to be spotless. Its wool's got to be perfectly white. It can't have a mark on it. And you bring it to me and we'll sacrifice." That's where they're passing by there, and she goes, "Got to have a baby." And the Bible says it wasn't a manger. It's a definite article in the Greek. It says they went to the manger, and they went into the temple of this place that Micah talks about. Look at this, Micah chapter 4, 1,000 years before Jesus. It says in Micah 4, let's bring that up there, "I will make the lame a remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them from Mount Zion from that day forever." Verse 8. "As for you," look at this, "O watchtower of the flock." Temple, this is Eder, Migdal Eder. "O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored." Will be restored. You know what that word means? Proclaimed. In the month of Shimri, they didn't just have the trumpets. The priest said, "Blow the trumpets." They added shofars. It was the loudest trumpet blast you have. That's what that word means. Dominion will be trumpet blasted to you from the watchtower of Eder. A king will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Look at the next verse. "Why do you now cry? You have no king? Has your counselor perished? Pain seizes you like that of a woman in birth." Are you getting this? Do you know how many years God put together with prophets over thousands of years in different lands to tell this one story that you get to look at? right there. She's going by. The priest goes, yep, blow the trumpets. They blow the trumpets from the watchtower, and a baby is born. Do you hear what I hear? Maybe for some of you, are just too old. Like, what's the movie? The Polar Express. Some of us have grown too old to hear the bells of Christmas. Have we gotten too old to hear the story? Do you know that 85% of people who accept Jesus Christ will do so before the age of 25? 95% of people who come to Christ will do so before the age of 15. You know what that tells me? That children can still hear the voice of God in their innocence. That teenagers can hear the voice of God in their hunger. But adults only hear the voice of God sometimes in their desperation. Can you hear the voice of God still? Can you still hear Christmas? Children have figured something out. Have you ever heard of the mosquito ringtone? There's a mosquito ringtone. This mosquito noise tone, it's called the mosquito tone. They made it a ringtone. Was invented for two reasons overseas. One, it was invented originally, this tone that can only be heard by younger people because we get what's called ear age, this older hearing, so we can't hear it because it's too high-pitched. They did it to get rid of kids loitering in front of storefronts. They were selling it to stores overseas. Then they figured out, hey, mosquitoes don't like this, and they called it the mosquito tone, and you play this and it's supposed to drive mosquitoes away. Well, what's happened is, in America, it is now a ringtone, and kids have figured this out. Some students are downloading this ringtone off the internet that's too high-pitched to be heard by most adults. And with it, high schoolers can receive text messages, alerts on their cell phones without their teachers knowing it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you hear it? Because I think the older we get, the more stubborn we get, and we can't hear the voice of God. Can I tell you, shut down the noise. Shut down the Facebook and the ringing and the TV and the radio and the car and the yelling and the Facebook and the Instagram and all the noise, and shut it down and say, God, I just want to hear your voice again. Do you hear what I hear? A child shivers in the cold. I'm going to bring him silver and gold. He is the Christ, and I'm going to worship him. I still hear his voice today. I'm not too old. And if you're too old to hear it, become a child again. We needed to develop our spiritual ears of God in the good days and the bad days, during the sun and the rain. I want to hear him in the thunder, and I want to hear him in the still small voice. I want to hear him in my tragedy, and I want to hear him in my triumph. I want to hear him on the mountaintop of glory, and I want to hear him in the valley of the shadow of death. I want to hear his voice in my suffering, of the pain of my suffering, and I want to hear his voice in the joy of my laughter. I want to hear him in the power of grace and in the problem of my sin. When I'm anxious, I want to hear his voice say, peace, be still. When I'm fearful, I want to hear, be thou not afraid. When I'm weak, I want to hear, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. When I'm in doubt, I want to hear his voice say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When I'm finished, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear the voice of God. I don't want to lose the bell of Christmas. I don't want to miss the trumpet, and I don't want to miss the Christ. Do you hear what I hear? Let me close this way. Do you know what I know? Do you know what I know? Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king. Do you know what I know, you mighty king? Do you know what's happening right now? Because it says very clearly in verse 11 and 12 of Luke, and you might have missed this, but do you know this? Today in the town of David, right out there, mighty king, do you know what I know? Right there. What's happening right there? Well, there was a guy by the name of Boaz, and he found this beautiful wife, Ruth. They got married. They had a baby. And Boaz and his wife, Ruth, had a lot of land they farmed. They farmed right here. That was their land. 1,500 years before Jesus was there, being born in the manger. They had a son. His name was Obed. Obed got married, and he farmed, and he took care of sheep right there. Obed had a son, and he got married. His son's name was Jesse. Jesse had a son who was a shepherd boy by the name of David. And he shepherded right where the Messiah would be born. Today in the town of David, not in the town of David, right where David probably wrote Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? They have pierced my hands and feet. He may have written that right in that field, not knowing Christ would be born. And you know what else I know? Do you know what I know? Those Levitical shepherds, those special shepherds, were not told by the angels where to go. They said, a child has been born. They took off. They found him. You know why they found him? Nobody had to tell them where. They knew that the lamb for the Passover had to be born in that place. They went right there and they found Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, was born in the very place. Do you know what I know? That when those shepherds for the high priest would raise a perfect lamb without blemish, when that ewe would give birth to that little lamb, the shepherds would go, okay, it's perfect. Oh, look at it. And they would examine it, and they would go, and they would even take it to the high priest for 4 days to be examined. And they would go, okay, but to start out, we don't want its hoofs or anything to get broken. We don't want it to get dirty. They would take that brand new in the tower of the sheep. They would wrap it in swaddlings. And then they would take it to the high priest. Jesus was wrapped in swaddlings in the manger because he was a perfect lamb. Come back at Easter, and I'll tell you why that means so much. Because when he rode in on a donkey on Palm Sunday, for 4 days, he went to the temple and he showed himself to the priest to be examined before he became the sacrifice for you and I. Spencer had a professor who the other day was out shopping. He's friends with him, so I guess he heard this story. I said, can I share it? He said, absolutely. Professor Bounds, very intelligent professor. I've met him, great man. He has a boy, and they were out Christmas shopping. You ever go Christmas shopping, you get excited when you see somebody in Walmart or Target, and the teller is wearing a pin that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. So they're standing there, and the little boy looked up, and he sees this. Jesus is the reason for the season. He looks at his dad. He goes, Jesus isn't the reason for the season. I'm the reason for the season, Dad. His dad's like, oh, you ever have those moments? He looks down at his son. They leave, and he's thinking about it. He goes, wait a minute. You're right. My son is right. He is the reason for the season. You're the reason for the season. Jesus came because of you. He didn't come for a birthday party. He came for a rescue mission. You are the reason for the season. You're the reason that the trumpet blew. You're the reason that God put the stars in the sky to announce his coming. You're the reason that they wrapped him in a manger, and you're the reason for Christmas. You are. Because Christmas is about God's gift, and Christmas is about your gift. And I want to give gifts away right now. What a better thing to do. We just fed thousands of people, and it just keeps going. The gifts, you guys are wonderful. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to have an offering. Another one, yes. Ushers, if you'll come forward. But here's what we're going to do. Will you hand me that, please? This is different. We're going to pass the plates. We don't want you to put anything in. We want you to take it out. We're going to go ahead and give God's offering away. We're giving it away. We want you to take it. If you want to take it, you go ahead and reach in here. There's $10 bills. There's $4,000. We're just giving it away. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to take, this is God's money. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. Over the next 7 days till next Sunday, there's a little note on the back that says reverse offering. Please take $10 from God in order to bless someone. We would love to hear your story on what you were able to do. And anonymously, please, if you'd like to put this card back in the offering, we'd love to hear your stories. Isn't that what it's all about? We don't need glory for individuals. We don't need your name. We just want to hear the great stories. Last time I did this, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago, and we gave away, we didn't have this kind of money. And a lady was sitting as a nurse at the hospital, and she goes, I don't know what to do. This is God's money. I don't want to blow it. This is God's money. The church just gave away the offering. Yes, Merry Christmas. When churches are right now begging, and Salvation Army and other organizations saying, we don't have enough money. Okay, we're giving it away. But we want you to do it in God's name. Don't just throw it down somewhere. Do it in God's name and say, here, have a human contact. This lady was sitting in the hospital, and she goes, I don't know what to do with this. And she started telling her coworkers, and one lady says, wow, here's $20. Another one says, here's $50. Here's $10. She came back the next week. She goes, Pastor, here's $613. I didn't know what to do with it, and so I just told people, and then they just gave me more money and said, here, whatever you do, just do this, and we want to be a part of this miracle. I was like, what do we do? She goes, I know of a family that's really on hard time. I said, perfect. Let's give them the $613. And we did. And over, if you want it, here it is. We've always had this policy. If you got to give it, if you need it, take it. But today, give it away. Learn that it might have just been a baby, and what could one baby in a manger do? It might just be $10, but what could $10 do? Pray about it. If you want, take it. If not, that's fine. Let me pray. Let's go ahead and start passing those. Father in heaven, we pray over this offering. Today, God, we are not taking an offering. Father, we're taking your money, your blessing, and we're giving it away. Because God, if we can't learn to do that, we can't learn to give Jesus. God, help us to be a part of a miracle. This is not $10. This is, ironically, on the back of this, in God we trust. So, Father, help us to trust you. Help us to bless others. For those that fill up to the challenge, help us, God. But more than that, this week, may we all know that Christ can be born in us. More than anything, we ask that Jesus would live in our hearts. Father, in every home, would you live in us, in Jesus' name. As they're still passing those out, let me just encourage you. Let me encourage you this week to find ways to allow this to just resonate. Thursday, we have a wonderful time here. Next Sunday is our Christmas weekend. And I know many are going to be with family. Family will be in. Some of you will be traveling. Let me encourage you. Seek Christ while he may be found, and utilize that in your life for your glory, okay? And yes, we apologize. We ran out of bulletins almost after first service. We had a few. If you need something for any of the announcements, for the different things that are happening, they are out. They're in the plates? Oh, they're in the plates. You could take one of those. So feel free to do that. But can we stand together for the benediction? I don't know what's going to happen this week. I pray that God places you in a miracle. God puts you in a place, good or bad, that you'll find his love for your life. On behalf of my wife and I and our family, a lot of people don't know that. Just so we don't get things confused, you know, who you see people around people all the time. You see Susan around the office and you go, isn't she the secretary? How come I see them together a lot? Yes, she is. This is my wife, Susan. On behalf of our family, we just want to wish you the true meaning of Christmas, that Christ can live in your hearts, that he can change no matter what your circumstance is, and no matter what the world has, no matter how chaotic it gets, no matter how many fender benders you have in the mall, can I just encourage you, don't let that define you. God's love is going to hold you and sustain you. Let God do that. Father, I pray a blessing over each household. Baruchatai Adonai Elohim, blessed be the Lord our God, who makes his light to shine down on us in our tragedy and our triumph. God, how can I say thank you? restore to us the joy of our salvation, for it is our strength. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a very Merry Christmas.